Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. I know it's a day early, but we wanted to extend a heartfelt Thanksgiving to each and every one of our listeners. We pray that tomorrow is just a wonderful, fantastic day of giving thanks for all the many blessings that you have. And certainly as believers, we have so much to be grateful for. Richard, as I said yesterday, we've been made fully alive in Christ. All of our sins have been forgiven once and for all. We are free in the Lord Jesus, free to abide in His love and free to extend love to one another. And so we have so much to be thankful for. And then there are family and friends and, you know, all the many blessings that we have here that we enjoy on this earth. So I just pray that tomorrow is a wonderful day of Thanksgiving, not a day where, you know, you argue back and forth with family members about politics or religious beliefs or any of those sort of things. Just a day.
Oh, you just took all the fun out of it.
Well, I know. I'm sorry about that, but it is Thanksgiving Day, so let's be thankful for all the things that we have in Jesus Christ. And, you know, thankfulness in a person's heart, especially in a believer's heart, is really an expression of our faith in Jesus Christ. That's one of the ways faith manifests itself in our everyday life. And so for believers, you know, every day is really Thanksgiving Day. That's an expression of faith. Even the word thanksgiving is related to grace. It has charis as the root of it, which is the Greek word for grace.
Yes.
And it's a giving of thanks for all the blessings and favor that we have in Jesus Christ. None of it earned, none of it merited, simply received by faith in or through faith in Jesus Christ. So We do express our faith with thanksgiving, and the writer of Hebrews talks about that. Hebrews chapter 13, starting in verse 15, it says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name." You know, in this new covenant, there's no sacrifices that we can bring for forgiveness of sins. Jesus offered the once-for-all sacrifice. So we don't have to do any of that. But when our hearts have been gripped by the grace of God, have been changed by the grace of God, then we offer up a different kind of sacrifice, the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name. And then it goes on to say, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for which such sacrifices God is pleased." You know, love is a sacrificial thing. It's not an ushy-gushy feeling. And sometimes it's inconvenient. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes we have to get out of our comfort zones and roll up our sleeves to be patient with people, to be kind with people, to endure with people. That is the sacrifice that we offer now in serving others because of the love of God that has been put in our hearts. So we pray that tomorrow will just be a wonderful reminder and a refreshment to you of all the things that we have to be thankful for as believers in Christ. And it's a wonderful day of the year, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. This year is kind of strange for me because normally we would have Thanksgiving with family, but family is gone this year, and we need to delay it until Saturday when they're back. And it just feels strange because it's the kind of thing that you just kind of take for granted that Thanksgiving's going to be a particular day, and when it's not. And, you know, it's the first time in a long, long time that I haven't been able to celebrate Thanksgiving in the normal way. And yet I think about people all around the world, American citizens, service people, and other folks who are in a foreign country and don't get to celebrate this holiday that is such a tradition in the United States. And yet, it doesn't matter if I celebrate a day or another day or a series of days. What matters is that Jesus is the source of all of this. I mean, he makes it all possible. The way you read Hebrews 13, 10, or 15, rather, the worship of God tied directly to service to others. I mean, what a great picture of what Thanksgiving really is about. And so for me this year, even though it's a little strange, it doesn't matter because, you know, I get to watch my granddaughters tomorrow and then we get to be with everybody on Saturday. And it's just all about Jesus. And we get to serve each other in the family and serve the community. And it just doesn't get any better than this.
It really doesn't. And as I mentioned yesterday, I'm down in Port St. Joe, Florida, working with the Blue Skies Ministries. And that is a ministry dedicated to serving families with children suffering from pediatric cancer.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity for families to get away from their really tiresome and burdensome routine of being in and out of hospitals and all of those sort of things. It's a time for families to get reconnected, for husbands and wives to actually be able to spend a little time together, for siblings to feel honored and like they're really important, and for the children suffering from various forms of cancer just to have fun, to get away from their routine of in and out of hospitals as well. And it's just been a wonderful time down here. And I just encourage our listeners to pray for Blue Skies Ministries, to pray for the outreach that they have. It is a powerful way to connect people to the love of Jesus Christ. And, you know, that's the heart of the basic gospel ministry.
Yes.
We go on the air each and every day wanting to connect people to the love of Christ. And certainly when people are connected, that's when this outpouring of thankfulness comes from within, because they know that no matter what happens, God is there with them and God is constantly loving them. And this love never fails. And that is the great truth of the gospel. So be praying for the families here at Blue Skies and, you know, the many families that are out there suffering. I think there's over 50,000 families in the United States of America that are dealing with pediatric cancer.
Wow.
It is a deep kick in the gut for parents. There's all kinds of fears related with that. So be praying for them, and I think that would be a great one of those great ways to serve others, simply by praying for their needs, that God would comfort them in the midst of their journey. And we want to say thank you to all of our supporters. Without you, we couldn't do what we do through radio, through all the social media channels, through YouTube, through conferences, through resources. So we thank you. And we want to thank you even more this month. So with your gift, we're going to send you a copy of my CD, Life After Therefore. And it really takes a look at what it means to offer your body as a living sacrifice to Christ and what it means to not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And it's a powerful CD. We want to put that in your hands. And it's available for a gift to Basic Gospel this month. And go to basicgospel.net, click on the donate link, and follow all the information, and be sure to request your copy of Life After Therefore. I think it'll be a resource that will encourage you, and something that after you listen to it, you can pass along to friends and family members and will be an encouragement to them as well. Richard, we had a great question that came into us via Facebook, And for those who may be listening who want to call in, we do have some open lines available right now at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. If you want to talk about what you're thankful for, we would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, we had this wonderful email or Facebook message from Jesse, and he wrote to us, and he said this: "Hey, guys, I know you probably get swamped, but I would like to keep this short. I am listening, and I love the message. If it is true, I will cry and cry and cry and cry and cry. This is such good news." Well, what is he referring to? Well, he is referring to the fact that Jesus took away our sins once and for all, that the sin issue has been dealt with. He was buried to put an end to our old way of life, and he was raised again so that we could have life everlasting and be declared right in God's sight. That is the gospel message. And most people kind of really hem and haw about the awesomeness of it, and they think, wow, it can't be that easy. It can't be just that simple, that all we have to do is receive the gift of salvation. But it is. It is that simple. It is that wonderful. We couldn't add to that. We couldn't bring anything to the table to make ourselves righteous in the sight of God, to allow us to be made alive. That's why they call this thing grace. So salvation is always by grace through faith in Jesus. So it is good news. But here's the thing that trips us up. And here's what tripped up Jesse, or is tripping up Jesse. He says this: "But I have my concerns about losing salvation based on what Jesus spoke about and concluded with what Paul mentions." And then he has 4 points. And the first point is about Jesus' parables. And in some of those parables, especially the parable of the 10 virgins, it seems to say that Jesus is telling us that we can lose salvation if we don't do X, Y, and Z. And Richard, is that what Jesus is saying in those parables? Or what? And if not, what is he trying to communicate to us?
Yeah. Well, first, that's not what he's saying. He's being very serious, however. And let's not gloss it over. This is serious stuff. This salvation thing is literally life and death. That's how serious it is. We're dead. He's offering us life. He would really like us to accept that. So in the parable of the 10 virgins, you had some virgins who were ready. They had the extra oil. They had all this other stuff that was necessary when the bridegroom was delayed. And when he came, they were able to go in. And there were other virgins who didn't have enough oil, and their lamps went out, and they were running all over town trying to find oil. And the bridegroom came, and they couldn't get in. The door was closed, the celebration began, and they were locked out. The issue is not how much oil you have. The issue is, are you ready? And the question, or the answer to the question, are you ready, is another question. Have you accepted Jesus as your life? If you have, you are ready. You will never have to go searching for anything else again. And notice that when I'm out searching for something, trying to find something to help me get in, even though I know I missed the date, so to speak, I'm doing that in my own strength. That's not a by faith response. But the 10 virgins who were ready, or the virgins who were ready because they were ready. They had made the right choices. They, in this case, for salvation, the choice is Jesus. There is no other choice. So if you think your salvation is dependent upon some collection of behaviors that you've gotten better at, or a certain number of bad things that you no longer do, the phrase safe to save comes up quite often. Am I safe to save? Well, none of us are ever safe to save. Jesus, by the miracle of grace, saves us. And if we're ready, it's because we've accepted him. The Spirit has come to live inside of us. We never have to worry about that again. It's once and done.
Boy, that is good news.
It is.
I hope Jesse is listening. If not, we'll certainly make this broadcast available. But the next concern that he had was the letters to in Revelation to the churches. And within those seven unique messages to the seven churches that were in Turkey at that time. Mm-hmm. And at some point he says, repent. So what in the world does Jesus mean by that? And why are these significant? And should we be fearful that we could lose our salvation and have to re-repent, so to speak, and be saved again? Is that what he's saying to us?
No, I don't think it is. First of all, he's not talking to individuals there. He's talking to churches, and these churches have certain characteristics. And so we can look at those characteristics and see what was going on, good, bad, and otherwise. And when Jesus tells them to repent, he's not telling them to confess their sins and start doing better. Repentance is always a core belief issue. In any church group, even in the churches there in Revelation, some people are saved and some people are not. And he is speaking to people who may have been acting very well, but really haven't come to grips with who Jesus is and have we accepted the real Jesus. Those people, he would say, repent. Come to salvation. For those of us who are saved, it is very easy for us to get our eyes off of Jesus, to get distracted by the things in this world, by hassles that Satan is having, by sickness, by the job, by anything. We tend to get our eyes off of Jesus. And in this case, repentance merely means to put your focus back where it belongs. Because if you remember, we've talked about repentance before. It's about changing your mind. But it's not just changing your mind to change your mind. It's changing your mind because you've realized your prime focus in life was off and it needed to be corrected to be on Jesus. That kind of repentance starts at salvation. And it continues as we go through our lives, as we mature in the Christian walk. It continues as we learn to keep our eyes on Jesus. Keeping our eyes on Jesus is not a natural state for us, but it can be the blessed state because the Spirit is in us saying, no, look at me, look at me, look at me. And so I repent of my distraction and put my eyes back on Jesus. In either case, whether it's someone who is lost and needs to repent for salvation, or if it's someone who is saved but has become distracted and needs to repent of what they're looking at and look to Jesus, in both cases, that's good news, not bad news. He's not threatening them. He's imploring them to get the proper focus.
Yeah. Well, you're listening to Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer today. We certainly welcome your calls at 844-322-2742. Happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners. It is such a blessed time of the year just to remember all the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. We're certainly thankful for all those who stand with us, who partner with us in delivering this good news of Jesus Christ so that others can go free in their walk of faith, can truly experience the love of God and have that deep, heartfelt conviction that absolutely nothing can separate them from the love of Christ. So we say thank you for helping make that possible, for being a part of the stories that God is writing on the hearts of human beings, not only here in the United States and around the world by His Spirit, because of the work of Jesus in His death, burial, and resurrection. And for your gift this month, and we certainly need your help, especially as we move toward the end of the year, we certainly have financial needs, and we want to see those needs met so that we can continue, can really start 2017 on a very strong note. So we ask you to give and give generously. And our way of saying thanks is to send you a copy of my CD, Life After Therefore. It's really a wonderful look at Romans 12 and how that practically spells itself out in our day-to-day lives. So go to basicgospel.net, click the donate button, and be a part of what God is doing here at Basic Gospel. Well, back to our Facebook message from Jesse. So we've covered two of his questions. The third one is a passage out of Matthew chapter 7. And at the end of it, Jesus said these words, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Well, those are pretty scary words. And a lot of people will read that and be scared out of their minds that they it's possible that they can lose salvation. But that's not at all what he's saying in this particular passage. Verse 15 of Matthew 7 really sets the stage. And Jesus said this, "Watch out for false prophets." So when he is talking in this particular passage, he is talking to false prophets. And so he goes down to verse 21 and he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So, Richard, what is the will of the Father?
To believe on Jesus the Son.
Absolutely. It's as simple as that, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the disciples even asked Jesus, "What are the works of ministry?" And Jesus said, "The work of ministry is to believe on me." So what God is looking for is a heart that trusts, a heart that fully believes that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. But these folks, they're going to say to Jesus on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles." So what they are arguing is, look at all the good works that I've done. Mm-hmm. Look at what we did. I mean, we prophesied. We drove out demons. We performed many miracles. Of course, all in your name, but it was us doing it.
Yeah. And those so are good things.
They are good things. But if that's the basis for your salvation, you're going to miss the mark.
Mm-hmm.
Because the mark is faith in Jesus Christ. And so if you're counting on your good works, no matter how good they are, no matter how stunning they are, spectacular they are, if it's not about faith in Jesus, you've missed the mark. So they're arguing the wrong case, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so they're saying to Jesus, "Look at me. Look at what I've done. I think it's worthy of salvation. Judge for yourself, Jesus, and then we believe that you will say we're okay."
Yeah.
But the real thing, what he will say is, and he says this, "And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers." So these are people that are still dead in sin, dead in their trespasses. They have never come to faith in Jesus Christ. And so the final judgment for them, even though their works look good, they're still as filthy rags to Christ. He will say, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers."
Yeah.
It's a sad state, isn't it?
It is. They did not lose salvation. They never had it in the first place.
That's exactly right. That's why Jesus called them false prophets, mm-hmm. and that's why he ends this particular passage saying they are evildoers. Anyone who has truly come to faith in Jesus Christ, before they came to faith, they had this same description. But now that they're in Christ, they have been made children of God, saints by calling.
Yes.
So if Jesus was going to speak to the saints, he would call them saints by name. He would call them children of God. But these aren't children of God. They have rejected the gospel and have relied on their own good works for their salvation. Well, Jesse, we hope that is helpful to you. We're out of time. We have one last. We'll try to get to that on another broadcast. But as we end this one, again, I just want to say happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners. We have so much to be grateful for. I just pray that tomorrow and every day will be a day where you give thanks, where you offer the sacrifice of praise through lips that declare his name. Well, for all of us at Basic Gospel, for Richard Pfeiffer, for Greg, for the whole ministry team, I'm Bob Christopher saying happy Thanksgiving from our heart to yours.